Hey, Holly.
Hey, Dave.
How are you today?
I'm doing great today. Thank you. You guys sick of hearing that?
No. First of all, welcome to the What Difference Does It Make podcast. We are a proud member of the Pantheon podcast family. We also have a YouTube page.
We do, in fact, have a YouTube channel. And if you would like to find it, and you should, you can search for us at What Difference Does It Make podcast, and you'll find lots of goodies there.
Okay, got that business out of the way.
Yeah, so welcome. Happy to have today's guest in our virtual studio, and I think I should just let you take it away.
As you have said in the past podcast, I am simply giddy about today's guest. This is exciting. This is a little girl. This is a woman.
She's a little girl to you.
She will always be a little girl to me. She's a woman who is graduating from the University of Oregon. Her name is Emma Sloan. She happens to be related to me. She happens to be my daughter. I'm going to get to learn a little bit about Emma Sloan. I haven't seen her in a long time. We've said in the past, we put this podcast together to talk to people that we've always wanted to talk to. So I've always wanted to talk to Emma about music. We do anyway, but this is a good opportunity to do that.
It's like putting it in writing. Once you put it down, this is for real.
Yeah. And it was kind of a fun idea that we thought of. The year she graduated high school, 2017, the year I graduated high school is the year that we've currently been following, which is 1984. So we're going to compare the two. It's kind of a fun little exercise to see which songs resonate still with us, what songs that Emma enjoys. She's going to represent her high school class. So it's very important. This is an important job that she has right now.
She is. I hope she's taking it as seriously as you are.
I hope so too. So why don't we get right into it? This is the What Difference Does It Make podcast, and we're going to talk to Emma Sloan.
Hey.
Oh my God, it's Emma Sloan.
Hello, graduate.
Hello.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
How are you?
How are we doing? I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Good. So here's how we're going to do this.
Yes.
We are, Holly and I have been talking about the year 1984. That was the year I graduated high school. Mm-hmm. And it's too soon to talk about, even though you're graduating from Oregon.
College. This year.
2021. It's too early to kind of determine what the big songs are going to be, or if you're going to remember them, or the impact it's going to have. High school is the year, like Holly and I graduated, or, you know, she graduated a year before me, but these are songs that are going to appear over and over and over every life event. You're going to be hearing these songs. There's going to be weddings.
Something.
There's going to be get-togethers, and the DJ is always probably going to be playing these
hits.
These hits from 2017 of when you graduated high school. Like these songs from 84, 83, 84.
They're not going away.
They're not going away. They still get played. We still hear them all the time.
They still get played.
They still do. We'll ask you about these songs. And we gave you a list.
Yes.
Did you?
And I flipped over the list.
You did. Did you listen to these songs?
I did.
Okay.
I know the ones that are from 2017. I knew all of them.
Okay. And yeah, we'll see how many of these from 1984 that you actually know, or we'll just ask you your opinion, what you think of it. So here's the format. We're going to go. So we're going to go the top five songs of 2017, and the top five songs from 1984. And we're going to go five and five, four, four, three, three, blah, 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 blah. And until we hit number one.
Okay.
All right.
Perfect.
Did I leave anything out, Holly?
No, I think you're good. I think that's a good format. Take it away.
All right. I'm going to ask you, though, should we start with 84 or with 2017?
I think you start with 2017, and then we'll go back.
And so the finale will be the number one in 1984. Is that how we want to do it?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Okay. Emma, is that?
That one's a better one. Yeah.
Does this format work for you? This is the first time we're doing this.
Yeah, no, it works. Perfect.
Okay. It works.
I'm glad to be the experiment.
Thank you for doing this.
This is a fun experiment. Okay. So imagine we go back in time. Ooh, Emma is graduating.
4 years.
Four years ago.
4 years back in time.
To the year 2017. And a young, actually you were 17, 17-year-old Emma is graduating from high school. The number five song from 2017, I remember this because at your commencement, president, he spoke and he quoted this number five song. Do you remember that?
No.
And I was like, well, that's weird.
No.
He's like, I believe it was the Chainsmokers who said, because and then he read a lyric from something just like this. What was, you don't remember that at all?
Well, no, maybe I remember probably like laughing at him being like, something the Chainsmoker said, like something we were all like, what are you saying right now?
Yeah, that was.
And really, probably the parents are more present than the kids. You know, kids are elsewhere.
I was just sitting next to my friends, you know, laughing, chit-chatting during graduation, waiting for my name to be called.
Exactly.
So let's, this song, something like this.
Mm-hmm.
This feels
something like, just like this.
Something just like this. Coldplay and the Chainsmokers.
Yes.
Do you like this song?
No.
No. So this song does not mean anything for you.
I remember listening to it like it would be on, you know, the radio or just around, like on in school events when we would have like Sphere Week and all that stuff. Like, you know, the pop songs would pop up, and this, I definitely heard this song a lot. It was just overplayed. A lot of the pop songs in this list, but like especially this one, just played so much, you know. So I don't know. It's a not a bad song, but it's not my personal taste, you know.
Dave, do you like it?
Yeah, I do like this song, but I know what you mean by overplayed, because 1984 to 2017, you could listen to songs on demand as much as you want.
Yeah,
which is why. This song almost has 2 billion views on YouTube alone.
And like Coldplay and the Chainsmokers, I like both of them, you know?
Yeah.
I like their stuff. It's just, it's not a bad song. It's just, I think now thinking back, it was just overplayed a lot, you know?
Do you think you liked it when you first heard it?
Yeah, probably more than I do now then.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of what the quote was for this president would have said to the high school, because it's almost like a love song.
I've been reading books of old, the legends and the myths, Achilles and his gold, Achilles and his gifts, and Spider-Man's control, and Batman with his fist. And clearly I don't see myself upon that list. But she said, where'd you wanna go? How much you wanna risk? I'm not looking for somebody with some superhuman gifts, some superhero, some fairy tale bliss. Just something I can turn to, somebody I can kiss. I want something just like this.
It is more of it's more like a love song.
Yeah.
And where you want to go and how much you want to risk. That's
I think
applicable,
so.
Yeah.
I think maybe
that's
that
context.
Okay. I think I probably, so he probably said, where you want to go, how much you want to risk. I think that's probably what he.
That's an interesting quote coming from.
Why would you say that?
You would, like the high school would always be like, don't play safe, you know, don't risk.
That's but, true. This was a Catholic school.
It was a Catholic high school.
It still is a Catholic school.
this is true. But yeah, that is an interesting quote. I wish I remembered exactly what he quoted, but that would make sense that he would say that. So I don't know. Interesting.
Are you a fan of this song, Holly?
Yeah, I like this song a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I like both of them. I like both bands. There's just something about, as we've talked about, music either strikes you or it doesn't. And I just like this song.
I think there'll be a number of songs on this, like this top five, that I think parents like as well as if not more than the kids.
Yeah. It's funny though. I couldn't have told you before we put this list together. I couldn't have told you what year it was released. I would have said a handful of years ago. It's not 2017 to me.
I feel like nowadays, like people don't really pay attention to the year things were released necessarily. Like, you know, 1984, you remember these songs or the movies that were released, but I feel like it's not as common to like know the exact year that things were released now.
I was in high school or I was in, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I was in high school, I was in middle school. Oh, that was, yeah.
Not exact years. Do you tie certain songs to moments that happened in your life, like you're at the beach with some, with, you know, your friends, or you hear a certain song and you think.
Yeah. I mean, the next song from 2017 definitely has moments that I remember.
All right. We will talk about that. All right. So there's the teaser.
So let's move along.
All right. So let's move along. Okay. So the number five song is a movie that I know for sure you have no idea what it is. It's the movie Against All Odds. But I think you know the artist. It's Against All Odds by Phil Collins. Do you know Phil Collins?
Yeah.
What do you know Phil Collins from?
I definitely know the name Phil Collins. You know, that's like a famous name that I would know. But I'm always bad at knowing the artist with the songs. But I know the name Phil Collins. And now that I see the song, I'm like, that's Phil Collins, you know?
He did do the music for Tarzan. Do you remember that? Oh. Does that mean anything that's to you, those songs?
I mean, I love Tarzan.
Okay.
First, the song that you're saying you've heard this song?
Yeah.
You heard it before?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. It surprises me more, just the opposite. I'm surprised that you aren't more familiar, not you, but I mean, because we think Phil Collins is like, I mean, he's an icon. So we assume that everybody knows him. But this song, I wouldn't have assumed, someone your age might know.
I wish I could just make turn around. Turn around and see me cry. There's so much I need to say to you. So many reasons why. You're the only one who really knew me at all.
I think also a big part of why I know a lot of these songs is because I'm, you know, his daughter. Thanks. And you know, music's always playing in the house. And so I always, or like randomly, you know, I feel like must have showed me this music video or something like that. Cause you always show me music videos and like, look at this one, you know, like,
this is so dated. Maybe,
oh, that's fine. I don't think I ever showed you Against All Odds, but you watched the video?
Yeah.
Okay. So how shocking is it to see Jeff Bridges? Because I know you love him.
Didn't put that in the notes, I wouldn't have even recognized him.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't have known that was the coach from Stick It.
Yes. That's one of Emma's favorite movies. Is it one of your favorites?
Good movie. Yeah.
Yes.
So good.
All right. So he plays the coach in Stick It.
Yes. Yeah. But I wouldn't have recognized him.
And the dude.
Did you ever watch? You're in college. You were in college once. Remember when you were? Did you ever watch The Big Lebowski?
I'm still in college. Okay.
The Big Lebowski seems like it's always a college thing, I would think.
Yeah, I never saw it, but again, the name, like I know the The Big Lebowski. Like I've heard that so many times that I've never seen it.
Well,
Dave, I guess you're not doing your duty, are you?
Yeah.
We'll correct that over whenever you come back to
no way of a thing, because he's shown you guys so many movies. Mm-hmm. And
well, he has definitely,
yeah, but I have not. I've been neglectful. My kids, you know, haven't seen a lot of things they should have.
Have you ever seen Against All Odds? Because I did not see this movie. Holly, did you see? You
yes,
saw
of,
okay I mean I saw, I mean, this song, I remember it because that's all I remember seeing it over and over and over again. You love this movie?
Yes. And it's from the movie. The footage, obviously, is from the movie. But this is funny, in hindsight, looking at this and looking at, of course, I remember the movie, and Rachel Ward is like, I mean, she was beautiful. I just remember thinking, oh, this is such, it's just, the visuals were beautiful, everything about it. But now, in hindsight, so in 1984, I was, what, 19? 20.
19?
21.
19.
How old am I?
You were 19. I was 18. I was 18 in 84.
Okay. These people were older than me. To see a love story with people that seem to be that much older than you. I mean, now they're probably only 10 years older than us, maybe 15. But it just seems now, in hindsight, it seems kind of like weird. Why would a 19-year-old me have been so enamored with a love story like this where people were so much older? I don't know.
Well, I feel like when I was even, in like middle school, I would always watch, when you're in middle school or high school, freshman in high school, like 13, 14, all of the love stories are of people older, but I was still, enamored by it. I was still like, oh my God.
That's true. But we were old enough to almost be experiencing our own love stories. You know what I mean? In middle school, you're not right. I don't know. Just now, I don't remember thinking of them as that much older, but looking at it now, I think, wow, I was only 19. But yeah, you're right. I mean, love story should be, it's, I guess, universal.
Should be. I was looking.
It was just so pretty.
I was looking at the movies from 2017. There weren't a lot of love stories. There, Call Me by Your Name. Did you like that one?
I love that movie.
Okay.
Such a good movie. La La Land's romance too.
Yeah, La La Land. Did you like that one? That movie?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. Okay.
Did you ever see The Greatest Showman?
I did. I only saw it once.
Because that was kind of an obsession for a lot of people. Still is.
People were obsessed with it. And I watched it because people were so obsessed with it. And that one's a love story too, right? Sort of. Like there's like a bunch of different things. But
yeah, there is.
There's like love thrown in there every so often.
It's a musical. So we kind of have to because that's what we watch. We love musicals.
We do love musicals.
La La Land, The Greatest Showman.
Coco's a musical.
Coco. Yeah. Coco is good.
Yeah.
Have you seen Paddington 2, by the way?
No.
We need to see this because
is it good?
It's been rated as the greatest movie of all time. It passed Citizen Kane.
No, it's not.
For a second, before they found the negative review on Rotten Tomatoes, Paddington 2 was rated as the highest critically rated movie of all time.
You mean a sequel?
Yes. But then they found
Paddington the Bear.
Yes, Paddington the Bear. This is why I need to watch it. I've heard when it came out, like, oh, well, this, you were 17, so I wasn't going to drag you.
I was like,
you.
This looks stupid. I don't want
to
see it.
I wasn't going to drag you to see it. Now I might drag you to see that. I think both of us.
Now you might. Okay.
I think now's the time to kind of check this out, this Paddington 2, and see, get to the bottom of it.
All right. When you have time on your hands.
We'll figure it out. So number four in 2017 is Kendrick Lamar's Humble.
Yes.
Let's get into that. You mentioned, you kind of teased that out. Like when you hear this song, you think of a certain moment or place. What do you think of?
Yeah. I've been obsessed. Like I was obsessed with Kendrick Lamar, since my sophomore year of high school, which was 2015.
Yeah.
2015. When I saw him at Outside Lands for my 16th birthday.
I was there too. I was I was like, okay, I have to see Kendrick. So
we waited out the concert before to get close to Kendrick. At that point, I knew a lot of his music, but it wasn't like really loved him. But after that concert, I was like obsessed with Kendrick Lamar. And then Humble came out in 2017, which was, I really enjoy this song. Like, I think it's really good. And then I went to Coachella my senior year of high school and we saw Kendrick and the song came on and me and my friends were right by the barricade of the VIP section. There's like a VIP section right in the middle of the crowd with just like a barricade. So we were right up against it. And as the song was playing, he disappeared and then came up right in the VIP section, right in front of me and just like sang the song in front of me. And I was like, oh my God.
My left stroke just went viral.
Right stroke put a baby in a spiral. Soprano C, we like to keep it on the high note. It's levels to it, you and I know. Tell them be humble.
Hold up.
Sit down.
Hold up.
Be humble.
Hold up.
Sit down.
Sit down.
Be humble.
Hold up.
Sit down.
So that, like, this song is definitely 2017, my senior year of high school. Like, that's what I, remember this song by.
I took you to
actually give me the chills.
I took you to Outside Lands when you were in 10th grade.
Yes, you did.
God.
I was going into 11th grade. I was going into 11th grade because it was August, my 16th birthday.
That's right. Birthday concerts.
Yes. The whole family went though. Like mom, you, Maddie went with her friends.
Yeah.
And then I brought Olivia. It's a good time.
We kind of spread out. We never saw you.
Fun. Yeah, we kind of, well, we were 16. We were like, don't hang out with us.
Right. No, I get it. I remember going with Maddie to Coachella, and as soon as she stepped on that grass, she sprinted away from me, and I was by myself. Like, oh, all right, bye, Maddie.
Oh, bye.
Bye, Maddie. Have a great
time. I'm still
time.
Mad you brought her to Coachella, not me.
You eventually got there.
I got there eventually.
Ugh.
You have to redeem yourself.
Was Kendrick one of your favorite shows of all time so far in your career, your concert-going career?
Definitely the Coachella show was
definitely
high up there. I still have videos of him in front of me, and I watch them every so often, and it's crazy. And just the whole show, not even that part, but the whole show was just really good. He put on a performance, you know? That's what I like about Kendrick, because he has actual stories within his songs, which a lot of people, obviously most artists do, but for some reason I just really, I can really hear them and see them in Kendrick's music.
It also helps when you have an experience like that, where he's so close to you, it kind of elevates them to, the band or the artist to a, bigger status, the more intimate shows. I mean, not that Coachella is intimate, but when you have an intimate moment
intimate.
Elevate.
Definitely.
Yeah. Let's keep moving along. Number four, I'm 100% sure you know this song.
This 100%.
This is, I wonder if you can even do the dance. This is the song Footloose by Kenny Loggins. You've seen both versions. Do you?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Do you have a preference?
The original is obviously better.
Okay.
Obviously. The newer one, I don't know. It's just, I always like the originals better.
Yeah.
That's not maybe a popular opinion of my age group.
I don't have it in my notes, but who was in the remake? Who was Kevin Bacon's role?
I don't know his name.
Okay.
I didn't know that my kids knew this song, knew Footloose, but they do it at camp. They dance. They do the dance at camp.
Mm-hmm.
So that is how they learned about Footloose.
No, yeah, we do the dance at camp for sure.
Can you
but
do
I
the
think
dance?
I knew it before.
Do you remember it?
The dance?
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, don't.
You
not with your hands.
Do it.
Not with your hands. Let's see your feet.
This is my feet.
Get your feet. Come on. Get your foot loose. Let's see what you can do. So as I look this up, Kenny Wormwald, who I have no idea.
I know.
Julianne Hough,
I know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was Ariel. Dennis Quaid played the Reverend, who was, that was John Lithgow.
Yeah. Okay. The Kenny Wormwald is in all dancing movies.
Oh,
he's
okay.
in
Gotcha.
Step Up and Center Stage. And so he's a dancer.
He played Dennis Wilson in Love and Mercy, the Beach Boys movie.
Oh, wonderful.
I did not know that. Okay.
When I think of the new Footloose, I think of Miles Teller, which he's not even a big main character, but he's who I know.
Who is Miles Teller?
I can't even remember who.
Miles Teller is the guy in, which you guys would know, Whiplash.
Played Willard, the part that Chris Penn played.
The bad dancer.
Yes. Chris Penn played it in the 84 version.
Yes.
Okay. Miles Teller.
But Miles Teller is the guy from Whiplash. He's in a lot of stuff, actually.
Was he the drummer?
He was the drummer, yeah.
Yeah. As Emma was a drummer, too. Did you know that, Holly?
Oh, that's right. Yes, I did know. Of course. You can ask her to play some drums for us, too. Get up and do Footloose and then play
and
us
then
a song.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, she was in Drumline. Good for her.
Yay! Yay. Go drummers.
Go drummer. We love drummers. Do you know Kenny Loggins at all? Do you know, could you name another Kenny Loggins song? Do Do you know what he would look like if you saw Kenny Loggins walk down the street?
No.
Would you point?
Okay. I would not know.
Okay.
But I'm also bad at that in general.
Okay.
Like if I saw, someone from Coldplay, I don't know, I wouldn't
Chris Martin.
Be like, oh my God, it's that guy from Chris. Yeah, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, it's Chris Martin. Like I'm bad at knowing. I'm bad at the correlation. Like I know the song, yeah. I know an artist, but I don't know they go together. I don't know the face. It's bad.
Okay.
It's my downfall.
Well, we're talking to the wonderfully talented and beautiful and vivacious Emma Sloan. And as we do at this point, take a break.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Welcome back to the What Difference Does It Make podcast and our super special guest, Emma Sloan.
Number three in 2017 is That's What I Like by Bruno Mars. And I think all parents love Bruno Mars.
All parents do love Bruno Mars.
All parents, because he reminds us of an artist from 1984. This song would have been a hit in 1984, I believe.
Yeah, I would say that too. Yeah.
Do you like Bruno Mars?
Yeah, I'm not like a big fan of Bruno Mars, but when his songs come up, it's not like I'll necessarily skip them.
That's an endorsement.
I won't skip them. Obviously, is huge. Like
that's funny because he's not.
Because he's not huge. He's really small. No, yeah, he's obviously like a really big artist now and has a big fan base and everything. And has really catchy songs, but it's personally not my music taste. So that's why I don't necessarily listen to him a lot. But when he comes on or when he performs, I watch it. You know, he's a really good performer as well.
Hey, hey, hey. I got a condo in Manhattan. Baby girl, what's happening? you and your ass invited. So go on and get to clapping. Go pop it for a plan, pop it for me. Turn around and drop it for a plan, drop it for me. I'll rent a beach house in Miami. Wake up with no jammies. Lobster tail for dinner. Julio served that scampi. You got it if you want it. Got it if you want it. Said you got it if you want it. Take my wallet if you want it now. Jump in the Cadillac.
Girl, let's put some miles on it.
Anything you want.
Just to put a smile on it.
You deserve it, baby. You deserve it all. And I'm gonna give it to you.
Cool jewelry shining so bright. Strawberry champagne on ice.
Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like.
Okay, so back in the day when you went to parties and things, was Bruno Mars ever played?
No.
Bruno Mars would not be played.
At Bar Mitzvahs. Spirit Week. Yes,
where parents are
high
around.
High school events, when the parents are around, Bruno Mars is played. But at parties,
I mean,
it's more songs like Kendrick, like rap songs that are played, or EDM songs, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Which you can't really dance that well too, but still.
That's an interesting distinction. Like parent-sanctioned events, you get Bruno Mars.
Because he's safe and familiar.
Yeah.
He's not profane. Like, he doesn't have profanity necessarily. Yeah. But actually, this song is pretty,
I mean, racy, a lot of these
pretty
songs-
profane, pretty spicy. So at camp, this is one of the songs that I have to do with camp. I was like the dance specialist. And so for people would choose dance as their like their free activity that they chose to do. Yeah. The hoog, yes. So I had to, for like literally 8 year olds, had to choreograph a dance to this song. But it's like really like honestly sexual song. So I felt like really weird doing it. But that's what this song reminds me of that.
Oh, that's
in 2017.
Well, he still has a good memory, even if you don't love the song. Well, a memory.
Well, no, it's a good song. It's a good song.
Yeah.
Did you choreograph something to the song?
Yeah, I was a dance specialist. I don't remember it. It was like dumb, like just like step ball, you know, like 7 year old dancing. But yeah.
Wish I saw that.
Me like being the dance teacher in the front, like remembering.
I miss so much.
Well, that was not,
I know, it's at
that
camp.
That was at camp. Yeah. Right. You know, you guys aren't around. And
I know. But yeah. Camp memories, it seems like camp memories are going to be sticking with you for forever.
Oh, for sure. I remember camp more than high school in a weird way.
But when you think about that, when you're spending a solid month doing this as opposed to, you know, getting up every day and going, I guess,
yeah.
I understand it better now because my kids would say the same thing.
I don't know. Camp, you obviously are choosing to go there. You're having fun going there. And at school, you don't really, you know, school. So
you're making the best of it.
Yeah, exactly. But camp is definitely more memorable.
Okay. Let's go to 1984 and this duet. the song is Say, 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 Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul McCartney. Michael Jackson, yes. Kind of the Bruno Mars of his day.
Yes.
And so you had never heard, you hadn't heard this song.
No, but which was most surprising to me because of all of the people, maybe besides Michael Jackson, Paul McCartney are the two that I know very well. Mm-hmm. But I had no idea they ever had a duet together. And I had never heard the song before, which was really interesting to me.
They actually had a duet earlier that's on the album Thriller. A horrible song.
Oh, horrible.
It really was. I didn't buy Thriller because I did not initially because I hated this song. The girl is mine. The girl. And it was just like the doggone girl is mine. It was just like,
it was just not good.
It was not good. But this song, Say, 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 I really love this song. And so it was just fun. And I loved the video and I loved everything. They were just, both of them were just being charming. And did you watch the video?
Yeah, I liked the song. Like, I mean, it was my first time hearing it, but I liked it. And that it is interesting how music videos then were so elaborate and like so, yeah, like movie-like. And like there's a song and then there's a whole different music video. But for like now, it's just like music videos are just them like standing there. But you guys had MTV where you would watch music videos. And like, that's how you learn the songs through the music
video.
Huge
budget.
Yeah.
Huge budget for every video.
It wasn't on demand. We had to sit in front of the TV and just wait for our favorite
video. And just wait for this favorite song.
Like the radio. It was like listening to the radio.
Happily sat in front of the TV and just sat there and just watched.
Yeah.
Hours.
Now that does not happen. Yeah. MTV is not that.
You know, so there's Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson. Did you know who the woman is in that video that played Paul's friend?
I wasn't looking that hard.
That's Linda McCartney, who is Paul's wife.
Was Paul's wife who died? Yeah,
she passed away a number of years ago. But yeah, I was just curious to know if you know who that was.
Yeah, I don't think I was looking that closely, but I also don't think I would have known that in general.
You would have no reason to know that.
I know Paul McCartney, that's for sure, but...
Would you know John Lennon's wife?
Yoko?
Yes, very good.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
You said of course. Do you know how many Beatles documentaries I've watched?
Okay, good. That's good. Just testing. All right, let's go on to... Now we're at number two. Okay, number two... It's Despacito.
Crazy.
Despacito.
Justin. Oh my God.
Luis Fonsi, right? Am I saying these right? Luis Fonsi?
Luis Fonsi.
Okay. Holly speaks fluent Spanish, so she knows.
Oh.
So.
She knows.
So go ahead. Tell me, who are the thing? Go ahead, Holly. You take it for number two.
Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee. Emma, do you like this song?
It's very catchy. Put
it, yeah.
And Justin Bieber's in it. Honestly, when I think of Despacito, it's just Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
You know.
And he wasn't in it originally. Funny. No. Yeah. No, it was because just.
They needed to make an English version.
Just because Justin Bieber's on it, you paid attention to it, right? Is that.
Well, because Justin Bieber was on it, it became so popular. Like anything Justin Bieber does becomes crazy popular. And it's a really catchy song.
So that's the reason that I didn't realize, I guess I should have, why it became so big. I thought because the video I did. Did you watch the video?
Yes.
It's very visually appealing.
Yeah. No, I really like the video.
Yeah. Is there an English version that Daddy Yankee and Luis Fonsi sing?
I don't know.
Songs that are written in Spanish, that are originally written in Spanish. And I discovered this years ago with Shakira, who I love. But I think that her songs in Spanish are, but I prefer her songs in Spanish. I mean, in the songs that are written in Spanish, I do not love them when they're translated to English or when she just writes in English. Because, and this is probably the same way it is in any artist who writes in their native language, the language is so much more colorful. Mm-hmm. You know, I translated it to English from the Spanish lyrics. And then I actually looked at the translation, you know, professional English translation to see how much it differed. So it's so pretty in Spanish. So, okay, the first one, si sabes que ya yo llevo un rato mirándote. And literally in English, it means, you know, I spend a long time looking at you. It is not the same. It's so much more poetic in mm-hmm. Spanish than it would be translated. I guess that's obvious, but it's painful when you know the language and you appreciate the song in its native language and you understand it, then mm-hmm. hearing it translated to English, it's almost like jarring.
Well, Spanish, like all of the romance languages, especially Spanish, just in general, the language is poetic and like romantic and pretty, you know, it like is smooth and in my opinion, more beautiful. Like the way that you can express yourself in Spanish or in French or whatever is prettier.
Yes.
And in English, it's cut and dry, you know.
Despacito, quiero respirar tu cuello despacito. Deja que te diga cosas al oído, para que te acuerdes si no estás conmigo. Despacito, quiero desnudarte a besos despacito. Firmo las paredes de tu laberinto y hacer de tu cuerpo todo un manuscrito. Que le enseñes a mi boca tus lugares favoritos.
tiempo intentándolo. Mami, esto está mirándolo. Sabe que tu corazón conmigo te hace bam bam. Sabe que Sabeba está buscando de mi bam.
That's a good description, and you're right. I guess it is, even if you don't know, you know, even if it, you're listening to a song in a language you don't know, it just sounds, it even sounds prettier.
I would imagine when Justin Bieber sings it, then it means even more to you. Even if he is trying, I think he was learned this song phonetically. It still worked for you.
This song was played everywhere. It's not played as much anymore, but like when it comes on, it's still, you know, people all still sing it.
Wait until your high school reunion. At your high school reunion, you'll hear it. When you go to weddings,
oh God,
you will hear it. I know it's weird to talk about right now. This is a song. It will never ever escape you. It's going to be like,
I think it will.
It's like Mambo Number 5 or Macarena or something. This is a song, 7.3 billion views on YouTube.
It's crazy.
It's just nuts. So I hope you like it, because you're going to live with this song for the next 80 years.
Yep.
So when you see a number like that, 7 billion views, do you think about what that really means? Like, so is it someone who's 15 just clicking refresh or replay every time they've watched it?
Definitely. When I like, there's music or like videos on YouTube that I just really like watching. There's this radio station from Australia that puts their stuff on YouTube that's just does covers. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with this one video of like a Tame Impala cover, and I just watch it all the time. So like it could, like, I'm sure I'm like at least 1,000 views, you know, because I sometimes just rewatch it when I like. I think that's also my generation. When we like a song, we play it over and over and over again until we get sick of it, and then we go on to the next. And then when we refine that, we play it over and over and over again.
Yeah, we've always been like that. I think that's how Top 40 radio has worked, is that you play the same song every 2 hours or less. Yeah. Actually, every hour. Because, I mean, in 1984, we wanted to hear Michael Jackson. We wanted to hear Prince. And when you turn on the station, you know, program directors wanted to make sure that's exactly what was going to be on the air. And that's always been the way it is. But now you can listen to it on demand.
You can just on Spotify, just put it on a loop if you want to, and just listen to it over and over again.
Let's go to 1984, number two. What's Love Got to Do With It by Tina Turner?
Yes.
Okay. Tina Turner. Does that name mean anything to you?
Yes.
It does.
Tina Turner.
When you hear Tina Turner, what do you think of?
I don't know. Tina Turner. Like, that's just the name. Like, it's the name. I don't know how to describe it. It's just Tina Turner.
Is it because of Beyonce? Like, that, you know, she always references Tina Turner as a huge influence on her performance.
I didn't know that, but now that you say that, that makes a lot of sense. I don't know. She's just like Tina Turner is just an icon, you know?
Yeah, you know, so the song, What's Love Got to Do?
Yeah. Oh, I definitely know the song. Yeah.
There's a documentary on HBO. I know sometimes you kind of gravitate towards music documentaries. Have you seen that one yet?
I don't think I have, actually.
We will definitely watch that.
Okay.
You must understand, the touch of your hand makes my pulse react, that it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl while the zips attract. It's physical, only logical. You must try to ignore that it means more than that. Oh, what's love got to do with it? What's love but a secondhand emotion? What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? It may seem to you that I'm acting.
Yeah, Tina Turner's had quite a storied career, and it's worth looking into and learning a lot more about her.
I think, seen the trailer to the documentary.
Yeah, so this was like a huge comeback for Tina Turner. She was I don't know if you're familiar
with her 40s.
Yeah, so right. Yeah. Which was weird. I mean, this was a woman who was famous with her husband. She was married to Ike Turner. And there was the Ike and Tina Turner. Ike and Tina Turner review. You know, we could show you some videos from the late 60s, early 70s. You know, Mick Jagger learned how to dance from her, and she, it's just a dynamic performer. And then she kind of disappeared. She, you know, she divorced Ike Turner, and
it was bad.
Yeah, and her career just kind of dipped. But you know, she never gave up. And then you know, here this woman is in her 40s, and she puts out this album, Private Dancer, and it just took off. It was mm-hmm. it was a huge smash in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. And so yeah, now she's iconic as Tina Turner, and now in the Rock Hall again as a solo artist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you watch this video?
Yeah, the hair is crazy.
That's her thing. Her hair. But I was thinking about this because she is an icon. But watching this video and seeing her, I was thinking about what you think if you see her, you know, come up off the subway.
It's like seeing any artist that you're not expecting to see. You know, it's
But she's Tina Turner.
She is. Is that how you would recognize? You would point to her. You're Tina Turner.
Tina Turner.
Here we go. Number one songs. Are you ready? The number one mm-hmm. song from 2017, the year Emma graduated from high school. This is an artist named Ed Sheeran. Are you familiar with Ed Sheeran? The Shape of You. Tell me about Ed Sheeran, Emma.
I am very familiar with Ed Sheeran. I was obsessed with Ed Sheeran when I was, I think, in middle school. Yeah, I was definitely middle school. His first album, I like loved this album. It was so good. It was like the one with A-Team and all those songs. Mm-hmm. And so my dad surprised me with tickets to a concert, which was one of the most intimate concerts. And we were just in the pit, just pretty close up. He's an amazing singer and super talented. And that was a really good concert. And then as I got older, he kind of dropped off for a second, like was not popular at all.
Honestly, Emma, it was because he became too popular, I think, for you.
Yeah, maybe.
You moved on to other artists after that.
That's kind of what happened with like One Direction when I was obsessed with One Direction. Obsessed. I mean, I still am. Mm-hmm. But after I saw them in concert, I was like, okay, that was amazing. But now, okay, I saw them. It's good. So maybe that is just like, I get obsessed with artists. And then once I see them, I'm like, okay, that was amazing. And
I think of Ed Sheeran now, who I also love. And by the way, the intimacy of his shows carries over to, I saw him at the Forum and I still felt like it was an intimate show, mm-hmm. but I think his stuff is like almost evergreen. I mean, their songs are popular when they're popular, but he's one that I think can be listened to anytime. You know, and you can still have the same appreciation for it.
The club isn't the best place to find a lover, so the bar is where I go. Me and my friends sat at the table doing shots, tripping fast, and then we talk slow. And we come over and start up a conversation with just me, and trust me, I'll give it a chance. Now take my hand, stop it, and the man on the jukebox, and then we start to dance. And now I'm singing like, girl, you know I want your love. Your love was handmade for somebody like me. Come on now, follow my lead. I may be crazy, don't mind me. Say, boy, let's not talk too much. Grab on my waist and put that body on me. Come on now, follow my lead. Come, come on now, follow my lead. Mm-hmm. I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling too, I'm in love with your body. And last night you were in my room, and now my bedsheets smell like you. Every day discovering something brand new. I'm in love with your body.
You know, your mother saw him at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
even a bigger show.
That's what I was just gonna say. Like from the Rose Bowl, which is like huge, obviously, and had like thousands and thousands of people in it. And she loved the concert. I think she became obsessed with him after the concert because she didn't really know him that well before. But then, like, obviously, he's a great performer, great singer. He's such a talented singer. Like, that was my main thing. I was just like, he's just so talented. It was funny because my concert experience with Ed Sheeran was like this big and I could like probably touch him. And then her experience 5 years later was huge, you know, thousands and thousands of people. But she still loved it, you know, so good for him.
Yeah, I'm sure his show didn't change. Well, it changed a little bit, I'm sure, but because it's 100,000 people instead of just 12,000 people.
Well, yeah, When I saw him, I think it was only that one album.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple new releases or something like that. But it was definitely, he only had a small selection of songs to go off of.
You pretty much discovered him.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
That's what I like to think.
You saw him busking and like, hey, this guy's kind of good.
Hey, this guy's good.
Okay, so now we're heading back. We're going to wrap it up. This is When Doves Cry by Prince. What do you think of this guy and this song?
It's Prince. Another icon. Like, this is the icon of the icons, obviously. We went to a Prince concert, which before that concert, I was like, who the hell is Prince? I was like, I don't know who this is.
So again, this was a spring break and you were 9?
I was, I think, 12. No, 12.
12. Okay, so 2000.
I was in middle school. So I think I was in 6th or 7th grade.
April 2012, we went to go see it.
Yes. But before that, obviously, I had heard the name Prince, but I was also 12 years old, so it's not like anything really stuck with me. Then we saw him and I was like, oh my God, who's this kid? And now we still talk about it, that concert, to this day. Still do our inside joke, like, just like him just looking at himself in the mirror.
Do I look
just
okay?
Being like, oh, amazing. Like, just admiring himself on stage in front of like thousands and thousands of people, just being obsessed with himself. And no, yeah, that concert really sticks out in my mind still.
Do you remember how the show started? How he came out on stage?
No.
Okay. Did you watch the When Doves Cry video?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so you see him like get out of the tub and crawl.
Yes.
That's how the show started.
That's how we did. No, now that you say that, I do remember. He crawled onto stage. Yes.
Or like 5 minutes without saying anything. The music is building.
And we were all just, what?
No, you were looking puzzled, I think. Like,
no,
what?
No, I know. I was, because at this point, I still had no idea who he was, basically. Like, I did know who he was, but I didn't, you know? Like,
sure.
I knew the name Prince. I knew, you know, he had the shirts and we listened to a couple of his songs and everything like that. But I didn't realize how, obviously, iconic and, like, influential he was until way after. I would go back to school, you know, after break and tell my friends about my cool break. They were all like, who? Like, they all didn't know, which is why I'm so thankful that you are the dad that I have, so that I could, you know, get to know all of these things that were so, that I would, like, who doesn't know Prince now, you know? But I knew him when no one else did in my generation.
If I think your job is done.
Yeah, you're done. You're...
My job is never done. We got to watch this Tina Turner documentary. We got.
But then after that, we're good.
Have you seen the movie Purple Rain?
No, I don't think I have, actually.
Okay. I don't know how well it will hold up. The performances, of course, are great. It's kind of like Emma Goes to Oregon, and then Animal House was filmed there, and they had a screening for Animal House with all the students there. I think for your generation, Animal House has not aged well at all.
No, I wrote a whole essay about it.
So offensive, right?
It's so, so awful. Like every line in that movie would, you could not, could never get away with that now. You know, everything is just so offensive and so like
inappropriate,
just inappropriate, like not just inappropriate, just like literally illegal things were like harassment, sexual harassment, just like hazing and just making fun of like disabilities and sexual orientations and like literally anything. And it's just like, how was this even okay back when it was made? Like, I don't get it.
This was funny. We thought this was funny.
There's literally a scene where there's a devil and an angel on this guy's shoulder trying to convince him to literally rape a girl. And everyone's like, it's just crazy.
It's horrifying.
Like, Oregon was the only school to allow them to film at our school.
What did that say?
I know, exactly. I'm like, oof.
And I still wanted to see the frat house.
My freshman year, the house that it was filmed at, like the main house, that was my favorite frat's, you know, house. So I was there all the time. They have like, this whole room dedicated to Animal House. This is the Animal House room. It's crazy.
I guess that's in one movie they're not going to remake.
No, but it's still like, even though it's not good anymore, it's still talked about a lot. Our whole shout video at football games, where there are the videos there, everyone's in togas in the Animal House. So it's still a big thing. People still talk about it because I didn't even see Animal House until I think my sophomore year.
But during the start of the third quarter for every Oregon football home game, play shout and everyone goes nuts. Which they should.
And the music video is the toga, still great. And that's, that's
still,
what I'm saying.
It's
yeah.
still a fun moment. Emma, thank you.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Thanks for doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah, no worries.
Tell your friends. It was fun. You have all these followers, so we're going to expect you to spread the word.
Using you?
I'll do the advertisement.
Perfect.
Yeah,
love you.
Bye. Love
Bye.
You.
Bye. Best guest ever.
Best guest ever.
Okay.
So cute.
She is.
Okay, that was really fun. That was a lot of fun. And you know what I realized as we were going down this list of songs from 2017 and 1984 and movies 2017 and 1984, I realized that I preferred the movies from 1984, but the music from 2017, at least the top five on these lists. Weirdly, I don't know. I know it's a personal thing. How about you? Do you have did you find yourself preferring one or the other?
Actually, that does not surprise me. I think just because the top five are usually the most mainstream songs. Mm-hmm. And as a parent now, you are in the mainstream. Those are the ones that appeal to you, are the ones that get played all the time. So like a Bruno Mars. Perfectly great. If you were in high school in 2017, you would not give Bruno Mars the time of day, I think. You would be more into the indie scene or whatever, EDM. Well, I don't know. You'd be into something else. But because
the equivalent of mod or ska or punk or new wave.
Right, right, exactly. So I think because of our age that these mainstream songs are, hey, I kind of like this hip little Ed Sheeran. He's got a lot to offer. So, you know, I could... That makes sense for both of us.
That's a good observation. Yes, you're absolutely right.
All right, so that was a great exercise to do, and we'll do that again. We'll bring we can bring our children in more often.
That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like that. Again, a new episode every Friday. I would love it if you subscribe. You know, every Friday we have a new episode and you open up your phone and boom, there's a new episode because you subscribe. So please subscribe to our podcast.
You'll get a new treat every Friday.
Yeah. Give us a review, whatever you can. So until next week, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football.
FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.